United Lutheran Seminary presents the Seminary Explores podcast, conversations on faith, art, people, politics, theology, life, and more, with voices from around the corner and around the globe.
Two seminaries come together in Pennsylvania, and they have celebrated the selection of an interim president who we will have today as our guest to talk about community building, mission statement, and where this unusual combination of two great seminaries will go in the future. Hello, I'm Jerry Christensen, and this is the Seminary Explorers. Our guest is Dr. Richard Green, who is the interim president of United Lutheran Seminary, joining Philadelphia Seminary and Gettysburg Seminary after a period of discussion and decision that took something like a couple of years. Mm-hmm. If I were to ask you today, I think you would be ready to answer, where would you like to take this unusual combination of two seminaries in the future, in the time allotted to you as interim president? Yes. And let me suggest your first one.
Yes.
Community relations is going to be very important.
Sure.
Community building within the group.
Yeah. Well, and essentially, you're right. Community relations, community building is going to be very important. And I've made a very special attempt to address the internal environment as well as the external environment. What I've done is spend half of my time at the Gettysburg campus and half of my time at the Philadelphia campus since my start of my appointment in June of 2018. I will have met most of the faculty, those faculty that were available. I've met some of the students and student leaders. I've worked closely with the president's cabinet and with the staff and supporters and assistants who are on campus to make this what I would hope will continue to be one of the stellar seminaries in the country.
We don't need to go into the history, which will come out in our questions about mission statement and
sure.
future, but they have been friendly rivals, siblings,
yes.
since their origination, we mm-hmm. say here in Gettysburg.
But let's not go into origination.
Okay. When a professor from here went to found Philadelphia, but they have unique emphases in their missions.
Sure. Well,
this is a town and country sort of a setting
yes.
in historic Gettysburg. And Philadelphia, of course, in its own historic way, is also a great urban center.
Urban center, yes.
And there the feature then is in some ways the Urban Theological Institute.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And here it's probably the education of pastors in a four-year traditional liberal
yeah.
arts type of setting.
Yes. And the town and country, a town and county initiative that we've embarked on and have been, I think, very successful. I've learned an awful lot about that process, that program, in my time here, and that's something to build upon. You point out the long history of the mm-hmm. two institutions. In 1826, they formed, and mm-hmm. in 1864, they decided to go separate ways, with Gettysburg going one way, and, of course, the other group moving to Philadelphia. After more than 180 or so years of existence, they are back together.
Mm-hmm.
But there was the hiatus yeah. of separation in 1864 that led to the differences in approach, I guess. Of course, Gettysburg is more rural, and certainly Philadelphia is more urban. And those two programs together will bode well as we move into the future. We can have the best of both. And our graduates, our seminarians, will leave with an understanding of their abilities to serve God in both settings, in an urban setting or in a rural setting, mm-hmm. a setting like Gettysburg or a setting like Germantown in Philadelphia.
When we're talking about where you would like to take us in the next few years as interim president, number one, of course, this be the selection of a new and permanent
sure.
president, which
yeah.
you won't oversee, but at least will be done during your
yes.
tenure. But one of the first things I understand that you want to do is to formulate a mission statement so that
yes.
you can point everybody in the same direction.
Sure. Well, I'm pleased that the Board of Trustees saw fit to move very quickly this summer to develop and approve a new mission statement, a mission statement for ULS. That mission statement can be summarized in three words: unifying, learning, and serving. And it's designed to educate future church leaders for a changing world and a changing church. That's in place. What's not in place is a statement of values and vision. That will be forthcoming as we engage the entire community, the various constituents, in a strategic planning process. There are committees that are looking at aspects of the vision and the values to supplement and the mission statement. But we will embark upon a special strategic plan as we move forward. Strategic planning is grounded, from my perspective, in biblical theology. Mm-hmm. And Jesus certainly was a planner. Mm-hmm. Moses and
the
David.
Apostles as a committee.
Yes, that's right. That's right. So
you're
we
saying
are obligated.
Moses is a planner. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but
sure.
But Moses is a planner. Jesus is a planner.
Yes.
And strategic as well. They certainly had visions.
Had visions, and that we need to be inspired, divinely inspired by what we know about our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. So.
Do we have? Will we have opportunity to have the participation from as many constituent groups? I hesitate to use that term because it sounds like opposing parties, but representative groups from the seminary, alumni, faculty, alumni, of course, constituent congregations, synods, and so on, students, board members. It's a big task.
Yes, it is a big task. We have a division of institutional advancement, which has in that division alumni affairs and church relations and major gift planning and solicitation. But what I'm going to do is try to concentrate and enhance the opportunity for us to work with alumni. We're going to have to make that a penultimate, and not just a goal, but an imperative that we must work on so we can do a better job with alumni relations. By the same token, we're going to do the same thing for church relations. Right now, we have two people involved in church relations and the same two people involved in alumni affairs. We're going to put those in perspective and provide the resources so we can do a much better job than we have in the past, maybe because we didn't have the resources. But now we are gaining resources. We were visited by an angel when we received $30 million recently.
Yeah. I was pleased. Pretty nice to be the president
over there. Right. I was pleased to be here only a few weeks and have the
first gift,
$30 million or more. Yeah. That's going to help students. The student constituency will be advantaged by our ability to use those resources to provide 100% coverage of tuition for all Lutheran students and non-Lutheran students who apply and are qualified. And that's going to set the tone for us to be stellar in our relationship in the ELCA and with theological education around the country.
When we're talking about this wonderful gift that you received in the first weeks of your tenure.
Yes.
Is it possible to describe in a few words the financial situation today of this particular seminary in the context of of higher education in general, but especially of seminaries?
Yes. All the seminaries, I think, depend, regardless of senate or denomination, are having some difficulty with finances. We've had that as a concern here long before I came, and to some extent we were able to pool our resources and come together as ULS as a result of that need to be effective and efficient. But a lot of institutions don't have the kind of endowment that we now have that will help them move forward. Some of those institutions have seen fit to merge with higher education institutions yes. to survive. Yes. We are the second largest enrollment institution, seminary in the ELCA, with Luther in St. Paul being the first. So mm-hmm. We have the same kinds of problems other higher education institutions have. Delayed maintenance, deferred maintenance. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This building was very hot yesterday because the air conditioner wasn't working. As it turned out, by some, I don't know, miracle.
Minor miracle.
They have fixed it.
All right.
But the same thing was happening in Philadelphia on the same day. So we have a lot of deferred maintenance. Yeah. But we have resources. We have in Gettysburg. We have the acreage that we own mm-hmm. and that we share and can use to leverage our financial position. I think that's going to be helpful for us. Maybe an advantage some other institutions have, but I know for us it's a godsend. The same thing may be true in Philadelphia for a different reason.
Yeah, Gettysburg, Germantown, very historic places.
That's right.
Land ownership is important.
It's so very important.
You're not necessarily selling everything off and collecting the money and.
Not everything.
No. But there might be some judicious use of this as leverage.
So That's right.
We're talking to Dr. Richard Green, who is the interim president of United Lutheran Seminary, about community building, about highlights of each of the two institutions that came together as United Lutheran Seminary, and about the preparation of a mission statement that will highlight unity, learning, and service. You yourself are an example of unity. Kentucky-born, Minnesota-educated.
Yes.
Any Minnesota education, that's got me. That always excites me, of course, being a homegrown Minnesota boy.
Yes.
But you've never been ordained, but have always been interested in theology and religion.
Yes.
And you've been a lifetime Lutheran.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what are the highlights of some of the this career that's brought you to this time? You have mm-hmm. you've been dean or acting dean of some Lutheran institutions.
Yes.
You've been interim president.
Yes.
St. Cloud in Minnesota
yes.
and Lincoln here in Pennsylvania.
Sure. Yes.
A diverse background.
Very much so. The highlight has been the understanding that the future of the world, I must say, the importance of higher education and seminary education is rooted in the people that are responsible for making the situation work. I have found in all of my nomadic travels in higher education. My wife says I have not passed retirement 101, so every time I try that, I end up at a place like United Lutheran Seminary or Lincoln or other. But I find that to be invigorating, and I enjoy working with people. And if I can do anything to bring out the best in the people I work with, to help them realize their goals and objectives, in service, I hope, to their creator and their understanding of why we are here on this earth.
A couple of the efficiencies we talked about beforehand that are brought about by the unification of two
yes.
seminaries
mm-hmm.
would mean a reduction in some staff persons, administrators,
yes.
but also in faculty.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do we think in both those cases, do you think we're at a minimum right now and you need to rebuild? Are we
yes.
stasis? Where do we need to go with yes. faculty building and enhancement?
That's something we are addressing now. We need to celebrate the first year as ULS and evaluate, assess the effectiveness of what we're doing. We did make some reductions that were necessary for financial stability, I guess, and mm-hmm. and understanding that duplication is a very positive situation when you can afford it. But we have fewer faculty now than we had in our separate locations and existence. But we're looking at a review. What we're doing is assessing the effectiveness of our educational offerings. And our accrediting bodies are asking us the same question. Are we able to do what we are charged to do and what the accrediting bodies are charging us to do in an effective way. So the number of classes, the number of resources, the number of faculty, how we serve as advisors and mentors and counselors of our seminaries and prepare them to move on. We're looking at that in detail, and the studies that we're engaged in now will help us with that. We're also looking at our relationship with faculty and how we look at long-term engagement on the part of faculty so that their major concern is education and not about how stable the institution is or their positions. Mm-hmm. We're doing a great job in that, and I think within a few weeks we will have addressed some of the issues that were creating some uncertainty there. We have a faculty retreat this Friday. We'll get a chance to talk about curriculum and other issues. As soon as we are grounded in what we are as an institution and are able to express that with clarity, we'll address these individual concerns about student-faculty ratio, number of classes, number of courses, and even do some experimenting. Mm-hmm. There is a move across the seminary world, across the ELCA, to look at undergraduates and engage them early in a 3+2 arrangement. You mentioned four-year arrangement before. Yes. We're looking at finding students who feel called, as much as they feel called in undergraduate school, to look at their curriculum and their program so that they can build on that at least in the senior year and spend 2 years here at the seminary. Mm-hmm. And we're getting some support for that. There are various foundations that are supporting that kind of effort.
Mm-hmm. What's the role then of the so-called internship?
The internship would have to be integrated somehow. Mm-hmm. There's summers one possibility it would come after those 2 years
after.
Here.
Mm-hmm.
Or additionally, they could engage in that their very first year. Mm-hmm. Another co-op kind of arrangement that would be possible. It's something new. We have to determine what the best route is to make that happen and be credible and effective. But we have some faculty members who are excited about it here at ULS.
And it's a new idea, which in a way kind of goes along with the increase in the number of second career type students.
That's right.
Another kind of an issue.
Yes, that's right.
And how do you address that then?
Well,
they won't be able to identify themselves as called
no.
The ministry.
We will continue to work in that arena.
Mm-hmm.
What we have understood is that we graduate in the ELCA, I don't think we graduated more than 250 or so students last, seminarians this past year or so.
Mm-hmm.
There were 400 and some openings. So we've got to look at what we can do either through our partnership arrangements and also with innovative programs such as an accelerated program with 3+2, but not of less quality, but of less time spent. Yeah. So.
As a kind of a campus, the Gettysburg side of this, the campus element, is a strong pull to have a place for dialogue and learning, face-to-face, one-on-one, living in experience. So that, I would hope, I'm expressing my own opinion, but would hope it would be retained.
Oh, yes. This doesn't mean we're substituting.
You don't accelerate them out of here before they get here.
No, we don't do that. And in fact, we have programs that take advantage of some distributed learning from a distance, and intensives where they come together and experience some of that kind of colleagueship and learning from each other and gestation and growth that's important in seminary education.
Two things on gestation and growth, a little bit different, but still on the same subject. Admissions, are they strong right now in ULS, United Lutheran Seminary, and are they about the same throughout the United States? You know, things went down a few years ago, and then they want to know what's the matter with the seminaries.
Yes,
well, they were down everywhere.
Everywhere, and that's true. When I mentioned 3+2, you usually think of that in engineering, something where you spend time at an institution, then you go off to an engineering school, and then you're through in 2 years. But what's been happening, and I've experienced it in most places I've been, that there's been more interest in the professions other than seminary, as a calling, and there have been some changes in the ELCA. For example, Trinity Lutheran Seminary in Columbus, where I was dean of arts and sciences, and some of my faculty in religion department were they had adjunct apartments in the seminary. They have combined with Capital University just because of that. Mm-hmm. The enrollments were down considerably. We've had other changes too, and at Lenoir Ryan in the Southern,
yes. mm-hmm.
in California, mm-hmm. Pacific, and so mm-hmm. on. I don't see the remaining institutions in the ELCA making any moves to do such. But I think, I know we are strong, and the possibility of growing is embodied in what we can do to help students to lower the burden, reduce the burden of living and tuition funds. The same thing is happening in Luther Seminary in Minneapolis.
Yeah, it's been a great boon to this seminary, this United Seminary, to have free tuition. Great boon, hasn't it, in the last few years to attract students?
Oh, yes.
We can't figure that ministers are going to make a lot of money, unlike maybe some other professions, and aren't going to be able to pay off even the smallest debt, as you would like. So free tuition really has helped.
It really has. My pastor in Arizona, where we have a home, is a graduate of Gettysburg, a 1999 graduate of Gettysburg. And he pointed out that, there are various ways you can get most of your tuition covered, but living expenses is another arena that we have to explore for assistance to our students. If you bring a family after graduating from college or coming as a second career arrangement, it's a burden, and we need to do more to help. I think we're paused to stabilize and grow. I assume our counterparts at Luther are paused to do the same thing. Around the interdenominational arrangements, I think working with them, we can help them, and I think maybe they can help us grow in the future.
On that note, I'm sure I know that the answer is going to be positive, but I need to ask, are you confident about the future of ULS?
Yes. What do they say? I'm bullish about the future. I'm not bearish. I'm bullish about the future of the ULS. And it's mainly because of the faculty I've met and some of the students I've been engaging even this summer. I watched the graduation ceremony via live stream back in May before I got here. And before I knew I was coming, I think, too. and I was impressed with what I saw. We have a tremendous opportunity here. We've had maybe one would say some problems, but those problems to me are opportunities, and opportunities to grow, opportunities to improve. And when we get through with our strategic planning and are addressing the concerns expressed by ATS and by Middle States, we're going to be much stronger.
We're going to know where we are and where the future lies.
Yes.
To unify, learn, and serve. Dr. Richard Green is our guest today. He is the interim president of United Lutheran Seminary in Gettysburg and in Philadelphia. I'm Jerry Christensen, and for the Seminary Explorers, have a very good day.
You have been listening to The Seminary Explorers, a production of United Lutheran Seminary with campuses in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to visit our website at unitedlutheranseminary.edu. Opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of United Lutheran Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.